Well, good morning. It's good to see you here. Just out of curiosity, how many on this side of the church can see out of that little window? Isn't it beautiful? I just, you know, I'm sorry for you folks, because the roof isn't all that great. But if you look out that way, you've got these beautiful trees, whatever they are, up there, with the beautiful leaves. And I just thought, oh, that was so cool. I sat there and looking at that. Now, normally I don't do this, but I just got to know. We don't do lost and found usually from the pulpit, but this was found in the parking lot. Recognize it? And the reason I want to know whose it is, because I want to know who has a wrist. That big.
I don't think you want to know.
I just want to, just curious, because I'm assuming it goes around a neck. It goes twice around the wrist. Why? So it doesn't belong to anyone, huh? Well, anyway, it'll be in the office. It's Connie's? It would go three times around her. Oh, it's going to be in the office. So you just tell her that. That is one of the praise team people don't put it on. It wouldn't go around my neck, I know that. So anyway. Well, I managed this week to pick up a head cold, so I'm a little bit congested, but I think we'll be just fine through this morning. Well, we're in the third week of our Believe series, the first week we talked about God, and the fact that the Bible doesn't ever try to prove God's existence. The Bible assumes God's existence. And it talked about how God is so great, how he is the creator, he is everlasting. We go on and on with all these attributes of God. And then the second week, last week, Steve handled the issue of a personal God. You know, it's good to have a great, awesome God, creator, eternal God, all-powerful, all these things. But does he care about us? Does he care about us, or did he just get us wound up and set us on the earth and just let us waddle around? And he's just up there watching us. And Steve dealt with that. No, he doesn't. Our God interacts with us. Our God cares about us. He knows what's going on. He brought up that sore subject that God knows the number of hairs on our head, and Craig and I really resent that he doesn't have to count much for us, you know, because there's not much up there, but he knows all about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows what's going to happen before it even happens to us. So, yes, we have a God who personally interacts with us as his creation. Today, we're really going to look at the extent to which God interacts with us and to the extent of which God cares about his creation. Today, we're going to talk about salvation. Salvation, which is something that we talk about a lot in our faith. It's one of the main things in our faith, in our statement of faith. We believe in a salvation. And we want to say, look today at just what exactly is salvation? And what I did in your sermon notes, and the reason that I put sermon notes in is because I am kind of doing something different, a little bit different from the book and from the video and that type of thing. And so I just put those in there. But I asked a series of questions. Very simple, and for some of you, or for a lot of you, this is just going to be a review. For some of you, this might be kind of eye-opening because we've talked about salvation. We've always claimed that we've had salvation, but do we really know what salvation is and what we are saved from and by whom? And so these are the questions that I want to answer today so that we're all clear and we're all on the same page. But before I get going, let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Father, as we look out our windows and we see your beautiful creation, Father, the leaves that are gold and red, and Lord, just it's beautiful. The rain which cleans the air and it smells so fresh this morning. Lord, all this is from you. All this is part of your creation, part of what you have made for us to live in. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of this season. Father, we thank you that you do care for us, that you know our concerns, you know our needs, and Lord, that you are there for us. Father, today as we look at the gift of salvation, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to truly understand what salvation is all about, why it's so important, and how, Lord, do we get salvation. Father, I thank you for each one that is here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be in tune with your word and with the leading of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, salvation, what is it? What is it? Well, in general terms, salvation is just basically being saved from something. Being saved from something. It's not a big word. It means we've been saved, we've been delivered, we have been redeemed. That's what salvation is, being saved from something. And again, we use that word quite a bit. And so, again, I'm just asking a series of questions. And have come up with some answers, and so that you have a solid or at least a better understanding of salvation, or maybe even for the first time, understand why salvation is important and why salvation is something we all should seek. First of all, if we have salvation, that means we're saved from something. Question is, what are we saved from? Saved from what? We talk about it all the time, but what are we saved from? Well, the scripture tells us, first of all, and there's a two-part answer to this, and some of you might come up with other answers, and you might come up with more answers or little sideline answers. That's great. You can bring those up in your group and talk about them. But I have two main things that we are saved from. First of all, we are saved from sin. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and you'll have the opportunity to do that in your small groups, and you read in that book, it's a very, very discouraging chapter, because chapter 3 of the book of Genesis tells us why we have sin in our world. It's because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And things haven't gotten better. We've not figured out a way as individuals or as human beings, even as believers, we haven't figured out a way to get rid of sin in our life, because we can't do that. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 3, 9 through 18. Paul writes, "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what Paul is describing here is humanity. Now, we're going to be talking about humanity in a few weeks, but so I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that. But if you look at this, this is a pretty grim picture of us, of who we are, because of the sin that is in our life. And we can't get rid of it. Putting it simply, in Romans 3:23, Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We're all in this together. This isn't someone else's problem. This isn't the problem in the third world countries, or the problem in Washington, D.C., or the problem in Seattle. We like to think that those are pockets of sin, you know, where sin is worse than it is here in eastern Washington, here in Colfax, which we know God created a perfect city and then put it in a hole. Sin is everywhere, and it affects all of us, regardless of who we are, where we live, what our family background is, what our history is. We have this issue in us, and it's called sin. So when we talk about salvation, being saved, we're talking about being saved from sin, from the sin that all of us struggle with, from the sin that has separated us from God, from the sin that has basically cursed this earth. Now, you know, I think of this, I look out there and I say how beautiful it is right now. You know, again, you folks, go ahead and look at the tree out there, you know, and you see these yellow, goldish things falling to the ground. Of course, I mean, someone's going to bring them up. But, we look at that. Can you imagine what creation would have been like without sin? How perfect the Garden of Eden must have looked. How beautiful it was. I mean, we are thousands of years away from that event when sin entered this world, and we still live in a beautiful creation. So I just wonder how marvelous it was back then. But sin has ruined our creation, and has ruined us, and caused us to be separated from God. So when we talk about salvation, we talk about being saved from sin. But there's one other thing, too. We are saved from death. We are saved from death. If we go to Romans 6:23, and you all know this, you don't even have to go there, you don't have to look at the screen, because you know it. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." And I'm going to read the rest of it. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, basically, that's the sum up of my whole sermon, and so we can probably just say amen and close and go have coffee. But we can't do that because I have more things to say. So we look at it, the wages of sin is death. Okay, what do you mean death? Well, Adam and Eve, when they were created, were not going to die. God had not created them to die. But when sin entered the world, death also entered the world. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, death comes to all of us. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death comes to all men because all have sinned." So salvation is being saved from sin. It's also being saved from death. Now, what kind of death are we talking about? I've known a lot of Christians, a lot of good believers, my folks being part of them, who have gone and have they've died, they've passed away. Well, it's not the physical death that we are saved from. But it's the spiritual death that we're saved from. The separation from God, which is a spiritual death. And we are saved from that. We are saved from that when we have salvation. I'm going to read to you a couple verses, actually. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. I love this. It says, because it kind of shows you the process of sin and death, how it all works. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I love the way James puts it. This is how it is. Now, a lot of times we like to blame God for our troubles. James says, don't do that. Because our troubles are generally our own. So, salvation means that we are saved from, first of all, sin. Secondly, from death. It means the relationship we have with God has been restored. And we're going to get into how that happens. Is the next little question that I ask is, how am I saved? How am I saved? Is it something that just happens? Are we all saved because of what Jesus Christ did? Is the world saved through the act that Jesus Christ has done? How am I saved? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches us that we are saved by God's grace. We are saved by God's grace. Acts 15:11 says, no, we believe it is through grace of our Lord Jesus that we have been saved just as we are. Then Paul writes in Ephesians 5, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It's by grace. It's by grace that we are saved. It doesn't have to do with us. It doesn't have to do, again, with who we are, where we've been, what we've done, what our lineage is. You know, I come from a Christian family, a strong Christian family. My parents took me to church even when there wasn't church. Because they wanted me to know. No, they took me Saturday. We didn't go to church on Saturdays. We're Baptist. Well, we went to church on Sunday mornings. For Sunday school and church, and then Sunday evenings for church, which really irked me because it was opposite a Wonderful World of Disney, and it really bothered me that I had to miss that. But having seen reruns of it, I didn't really miss anything. But that doesn't make any difference. That doesn't make me a Christian. Because my folks were. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, was a pastor. He was a circuit rider. He started a lot of churches. He even came up into this neck of the woods. And I don't think he started any churches here, but he was horse and buggy. Back in the horse and buggy days. You know, if you ever see the name Gustav Schunke, that's my great-grandfather. And if you want to know what he looks like, I look just like him. Except that he let his bald head grow, and so he had but he had a, and his beard was down to about like here. But anyway, I lived his life. But you know what? My grandfather, great-grandfather, being a circuit rider pastor who started churches, means nothing. Because that's not how we get salvation. That's not how we are saved from sin and from death. So don't worry about where you're coming from. Don't worry about your history. At this point in time, salvation is offered to you through grace. Through grace, through nothing that you have done. It is purely the grace of God. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Okay, so if God, if we are saved by grace, then everyone is saved, right? Right? Everyone is all under grace, right? We're all saved. Everybody is saved. Not just the people in this room, but everybody outside. We're all saved. Everyone who was at the football game getting soaked yesterday, they're all saved. All the people who live in that sinful town of Seattle, they're all saved. I've been picking on Portland too, or Sacramento, or San Francisco, or LA, San Diego, or Colfax. We're all saved, right? Because of grace, because of the grace. No, there's one more thing that the Bible teaches us. And we find it in Ephesians 2:8-9. It is, "For by grace you have been saved," important. Tremendously important. Through faith. Okay? Through faith. And it is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not by works that anyone should boast. See, God has this tremendous gift of salvation to us, and it's by His grace. But folks, we have to believe in it. We have to accept it. We need to have faith in God's grace. Which means we need to know who God is. We need to know what God has done for us. And we need to accept that faith. So our salvation is we're saved from sin and death. And we are saved by grace through faith. Now the question is, who did all this? Now, you're all saying, "Well, you know." Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know. But let me point out what the scripture says here. It says, we are saved by God. We're saved by God. Now, the book of Psalms is just full of talking about salvation. And I just kind of wanted to read a few of those. Psalms 37, 39. Says, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble." And then one of my favorite verses in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I And I think you can really even put in there, "What shall I fear?" I don't need to fear people. I don't need to fear the future. I don't need to fear what lies in front of me. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Our salvation comes from God. Philippians 1:28. "Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God." We don't save ourselves. God saves us. God saves us. How did He do that? How did God save us? Well, we are saved by God, but we are saved through Jesus Christ's 2 Timothy 3:15. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, someone had to pay the price for our sin. And Jesus Christ did that. That was God's plan, is to send Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, to come to this world and to live an absolutely perfect life, committing no sin, doing nothing wrong, no rebellion against God, and yet willing to give himself up on the cross and to pay for my sin and to remove the threat of spiritual death. And he does that by the resurrection. See, Jesus Christ wasn't just crucified and buried. Jesus Christ rose again. And so that gives us the hope of power over death through Jesus Christ. Not on our own ability, but through what Jesus Christ has done for us. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says this. He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And he's talking about Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. Not only are we saved through Jesus Christ, we can only be saved through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. There's no one else who has died for us. There's no one else who has paid the price for us. It's Jesus. And so we are saved by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Then we come to maybe even one of the more important questions. Why is salvation even offered to us? You know, that's a great question. Have you ever stopped and think about that? Why? Why God cares so much about us? Obviously, he is all-powerful. When Adam and Eve sinned, he could have just said, okay, clean slate. Cleaned them off the earth. Made a new Adam. Made a new Eve. Put them on the earth. Why did God love them and continue to love them even when they blew it, even when they were disobedient? Why did God do that? Why does he love us? I'm a sinner. I do things wrong. I try not to, but I do. I guess if I stopped driving altogether, I wouldn't sin so much. But I don't like walking to Poland to pick up pizzas. It's hard carrying them back. You know, we all struggle with sin. Why does God love? Why does he offer salvation? Well, it's really simple, and we're going to talk about this more, especially in chapter 8 of our study. But Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us. Ephesians 2 4 and 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We have the gift of salvation, being saved from sin and death by grace through faith, by God through Jesus Christ, all because of God's love for us. God loves you. God loves you so much that He sacrificed His own for you, so that you can have a life with Him. That's how much God loved us. If you don't get anything out of what has been said this morning or out of our lesson, I want you to take this home with you. You are loved. You are loved. And I'm not talking about your wife loving you or your kids loving you. I have to tell you, there are times when your kids do not love you. I'm sure you know that. There might even be times when your spouse doesn't particularly love you. I think you know that. But I want to tell you something. There isn't ever a time when God's love is depleted for you. When God's love is shut off from you. God loves you. He always has and He always will. He loved us so much that He gave us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love, which we can't even understand. Lord, we are so unworthy, and yet You made us worthy through Your love. Father, thank You. And I do pray, Lord, that everyone here this morning will truly understand the gift of salvation that comes from You. And Father, if they have not made that commitment to You, to accept You through faith, to accept the gift of grace of salvation, Father, I pray this morning Your Holy Spirit would draw them to that point, that they would accept You as Lord and Savior, and claim the gift of salvation that is available to them. Thank You, Lord, for Your gift, incredible gift. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.